The three Old Testament passages that you heard this morning were just three of four that the gospel writer Matthew refers to in his story of Jesus' birth. If you're not aware, we are going to be looking at Matthew's version, Matthew's voice of how he introduces Jesus, his advent. We did Mark last week, today is Matthew. Next Sunday, the choir will be performing a beautiful work. The Sunday after that, we will look at Luke. And then the first Sunday of the new year, we will be looking at the Gospel of John. That's why just one of the Gospel writers is highlighted in color on this morning's bulletin. So today, we're going to look at Matthew, beginning in verse 1, chapter 1. An account of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, etc., etc., etc. Verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, that's the exile, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage. When they had heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. And remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt. and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. So Matthew, I hear that you're an author and that you want to write a short book to share the good news of the life and ministry of Jesus of Nazareth. You know, I know a little bit about him, like he was the founder of this radical religious and social movement within Judaism. But he was executed some 50 to 60 years ago, right? And I also know that what he started has spread beyond Jerusalem and Galilee to places like Syria, Greece, and Egypt, and Rome. And that this Christianity is growing into a new religion that even includes Gentiles. So, how are you going to begin your story? What's going to be your perspective, the particular angle you want to take? I understand that you'll be writing this for your own faith community. And it appears that your church is a congregation made up primarily of Jews who have converted to this Christianity. You know, it's sad that so many were probably kicked out of the Jewish synagogue. You know, I bet there is a lot of animosity toward the Jewish authorities. Sounds more like a family dispute, though, among loyal and devout Jews, those who believe that Jesus of Nazareth was the long-anticipated Messiah, and those who did not believe this. Well, that being the case, you know, I bet your traditions of worship and devotion are still guided by your Jewish heritage, and your scriptures, of course, the Hebrew Bible. But now, you find that your faith community has ventured into these new waters of Christianity. And as author, I know you hope that your book will help them to understand the relationship between the old and the new, between the cherished traditions and commandments of your Jewish legacy and the new demands of Christian discipleship. Well, at first, I bet folks in your church were probably wondering, how do we add our new faith in Jesus to our Jewish heritage? But now that you've split from the synagogue, the question is most likely reversed. How do we incorporate our Jewish customs and legacy into this new reality of our Christian faith? Well, good luck trying to make that point, that Jewish Christians are neither lose their Jewish birthright nor the law of the Torah. And that your new understanding is that Jesus, the Christ, fulfills rather than abolishes the law and the prophets. Well, that's still kind of confusing to me. But I hear that there are some folks starting to join the church that don't have a Jewish background. Huh. Incorporating Gentiles, those former pagans who converted to Christianity. Wow, that is a big issue to tackle. Maybe you should let someone else who wants to be a gospel writer wrestle with that perspective. I hear that this guy named Mark has already done that in his gospel, and perhaps others will as well. Now, it sure seems like incorporating diversity into the church is already a big hassle. But yes, you're right, that's what Jesus would do. You know, I bet accepting diversity will get easier as the centuries go by. But I may be wrong about that. Well, by the way, I am very impressed with your knowledge and your highly polished use of the Greek language. You're obviously a very educated person. Well, enough talk. I know you're anxious to get writing, but where to begin? You know, I noticed that you have in front of you that gospel book written by Mark. What was that, about 10 years ago? You know, that's a good resource. And so is that other book of sayings that you have. Someone will probably call that Q. Well, I've heard that Mark started his gospel with the arrival of Jesus, his advent, with the story of Jesus' baptism. But you say you want to back it up even further, making a stronger connection with your church's Jewish heritage, and especially making the case that Jesus is indeed the long-awaited Messiah promised and prophesied in the Hebrew Scriptures. What's that? Wow, that's a good idea to start with a genealogy that traces Jesus' lineage back to King David and even back further to Abraham, the founder of Judaism. You know, your readers are going to love this. So-and-so begat so-and-so makes for such fascinating reading. Because, you know, when they hear a name, they'll be able to recollect the stories of that person's life. And I'm sure future readers, say thousands of years from now, will remember all of this and find this list just as exciting. But now you need to find a way to introduce Jesus himself. Well, that's a good idea. Start by telling a story of his birth. Well, I find it fascinating that the truth that you want to reveal doesn't necessarily have to be historical. That your concern is more theological in nature than an actual historical biography. And I'm sure people in the future will also know how to find the meaning behind your words and to take those words seriously, but of course not literally. But then again, I may be wrong about this too. Going back to your idea to start with a genealogy, a strategy will certainly help your Jewish converts understand that Jesus' story is simply a continuation of the story of God's people, beginning with Abraham. Now I understand. Your purpose is to introduce Jesus as the embodiment of the heart and soul of Israel and the fulfillment of all of the hopes of that tradition. Your readers then will see that it is Jesus who inaugurates God's kingdom in the here and now by living and being in a new way rather than in some distant point way off into the future. For those followers of Jesus in your church, you know, it means they don't have to leave their Jewish heritage behind. But rather they can realize that Jesus is the one toward whom their tradition was always leading. So what do you plan on including in your birth narrative? I bet you have an angel announce the birth to Mary, right? No, you're right. Having an angel talk to Joseph fits into your perspective better. And having Joseph find out that his wife is pregnant and he's not the father makes him face the moral dilemma of following the Jewish law and dismissing Mary, or realize that Jesus, or rather that God is doing a new thing in Jesus, revealing then that Joseph is still being faithful and righteous in the eyes of God. You know, that sounds a lot like the predicament that your church is wrestling with. Being pulled by their old roots and their new experiences. Trying to figure out if being righteous means following the old ways or the new. You know, but once Christianity has this thing all figured out and is fully established, I'm sure everyone will be fine with this new tradition where the church tells everyone what to do and believe. Or maybe that's another thing I'll be wrong about. Now, regardless, I like your point that being righteous doesn't mean looking up a rule in a book and then doing the right thing, but rather wrestling with the complexities of a problem, listening for the voice of God, and then doing God's thing. I guess that means our job is trying to discern what God is doing, then joining with God and doing God's work in the world. I'm sure that message won't get messed up either. And by the way, I like the way you're planning to tell your story of Jesus' birth by making all those details fit with all those scripture passages and prophecies that you plan on quoting from the Hebrew Scriptures.
Well, so what else are you going to include?
I bet it will involve Mary and Joseph making a trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And then the baby Jesus being born out in a lowly stable and put into a manger. And then the shepherds out in their fields by night coming to see what has happened. No? That doesn't fit in with what you're trying to get across, huh? Well, then what? Really? Stargazing astronomers? Wise men coming from the east bearing gifts for Jesus? Oh, I get it. This is going to show how Jesus' ministry will go to include those Gentile folks who are now converting to Christianity. That's a great idea. And what's that? You're going to have the Magi first go to Jerusalem and ask that wicked King Herod where to locate the child who will be born the King of the Jews? Yikes, I bet that ticks him off, being king and all. Hope he doesn't do anything too drastic. Oh. So it's Herod's folks that you're going to have quote the Hebrew scriptures referencing Bethlehem as the place where a ruler is born. And then an actual star will lead the wise men and stop over one particular house where Mary, Joseph, and Jesus are? That's more of your metaphorical language, isn't it? Ah, that's what I thought. But I get it. You want to make the point that it's both nature, the star, and the scriptures that lead people to learn something about God. You're right. Knowing the scriptures isn't enough. After all, Herod and his people know the Bible, but they miss the Messiah. Oh, I bet you religious insiders won't make that mistake again. I'm sure that after people read your story, they will continue to look for God in creation, not just in the pages of a book. What? That might not be right either, huh? Well, I gotta run, but I'd love to know how you plan on finishing this part of your story. Oh, Jesus' family will escape King Herod's evil plans by going into Egypt. Well, doesn't that make them refugees? Well, I bet that will lead others in the future to gladly welcome refugees into their own country. Yeah, I know another idea that might not go according to plan. But wait, then doesn't that mean that Jesus will have to come out of the land of Egypt and go into the promised land of God's people? Well, that's clever. That's the same path taken by the people of Israel when God led them through the wilderness during the Exodus. Hey, doesn't that make Jesus some kind of new Moses? Oh, that's your point. Everything that God called Israel to be, Jesus is. Now, you are writing an incredible story. And yet again, I'm sure everyone will remember your particular theological perspective in telling about Jesus' arrival, his advent. No, this time I'm sure. I can't be wrong about that many things. Can I? Amen.